This is the real weepy and like tragic part of the story beginning, oh my brothers and only friends.
I'm in for four potential getaway drivers. Go.
No!
But I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
No!
Excuse me, we have a little bit of a hurry.
Hang on, Voltaire.
It's yet another long series of diversions in an attempt to avoid responsibility.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of This Just In, the weekly podcast that makes an honest attempt to bring you a packed show full of intriguing and entertaining items. This week is a special edition because we're bringing you part one of a two and possibly three part series of podcasts we are calling our Piss Poor Mixtapes. This is an idea that one of our listeners, Scott, suggested based on a skit by the comedian Aziz Ansari, who you can check out at www.azizisboard.com. The basic premise is that Chris and myself are challenging each other to come up with the worst possible five-song mixtapes we can think of. There's no set criteria as to what makes a bad song. Rather, the song choice, order of songs, and the reasons are absolutely up to the chooser. Therefore, there may be no criteria, but there are a wide variety of strategies that the mixtape master can employ. On today's show, we are going to hear and discuss Chris's tape. Importantly, I'd like the listeners to know that I have no idea what's on this tape. Therefore, today's show is going to be just as big of a surprise to me as the listeners. Next week, we'll hear my mixtape and discuss it, and maybe in the third week, we can name our winner and have listener-submitted piss-poor mixtapes and maybe even construct an ultimate mixtape. Now, before we get started, I'd like to apologize for any dip in sound quality you may hear because Chris had to MacGyver his audio setup in order to play his songs directly from his computer as opposed to mine. So, if it's a
there's definitely going to be when it comes to me trying to actually play the song, because I have these, I can't cue them up, so they're essentially just going to be it's going to be me saying my piece and then trying to find the right minute and second mark to play at. So
yeah, so let's go ahead and get started. Chris, you had some stuff to say beforehand.
Well, I just wanted to pick something up because it is the holiday season, and it is kind of that time to be charitable, I suppose. And last night I went to a cystic fibrosis benefit concert that was in Port Huron, Michigan. And I just wanted to say that anyone who feels generous this season, it could really make a difference in someone's life if you donated to find a cure for CF. It's a shitty disease. But the thing is so many of the people with it, especially, it affects a lot of children and young adults because it's a genetic disease. A lot of these people, they're awesome people, and so I'd encourage you to go check out www.cff.org and send in a donation of any amount, because research saves lives, and saving lives means kick-ass people get to coexist with us without the hassle of having CFs. Go to www.cff.org and make a contribution, learn how you can help, or just inform yourself about the disease, because any difference is still a difference. So that was my piece, and now we can go on to the worst mixtapes ever, I hope, because this is the worst I could muster.
So what was your strategy in picking your songs?
Yeah, when I came into this, I wasn't certain if I should just be looking for obscure garbage songs or if I should actually be considering songs that are kind of mainstream, but people be like, yeah, you know what, that is a bad song, or if I should be considering songs that I just wouldn't want to be seen in public listening to. But for me, what I did was I went through my entire playlist, and anything that caught my eye, for instance, there was that song I told you about earlier that by Gabriel called Dreams. It's a horrible song. I played it. I added it to my queue line of list of songs I would listen to again. And so this week was actually hell on earth for me because I had to listen to the most garbage, pitiful songs and sift through them to find you guys. So that was kind of my methodology behind it. I just listened to the songs that caught my eye, and then I put them into a queue line. But consider this to be my opus, if you will, or more accurately, it's my challenge to you, Tanner, to outdo me. So hopefully next week, I'm actually really excited to hear what kind of crap you've got in store for me next week. Well, without further ado, I think we can just go right into this. Let me tell you a story about our first song. Here, I'll put on my DJ voice for this. Let me tell you a story about our first song. The year was 2002, and I was in Toronto for a weekend of getting drunk and hanging out with some buds. One morning, I woke to MTV Canada, and our next selection was their featured video. For the remainder of my trip, I could not get the chorus out of my head, and I was forced to yell it at the top of my lungs in elevators or on the street just to expunge myself of probably the worst chorus of all time. ladies and gentlemen, off her spring 2002 epic, Everybody's Got a Story, here's Miss Amanda Marshall with her hit song, Sunday Morning Ave. A lot of exposition for a great song. I woke up with a killer hangover. Whole day was worth all this pain. Was over, tequila was my claim to fame. I remember I was dancing with Jake when I left for my keys. That was my first mistake, cause what happened to me? Oh, I looked down at my arm, baby, and something's looking back at me, and I cannot believe. All right, how'd you like that one?
Oh my God, is that terrible?
Isn't it a dreadful song?
The guitars are so horribly produced, and like it's like they're barely there. They just sort of like tinkle along, and
You know what was so upsetting to me about this was that when I was watching this, because literally I woke with a hangover, just like she says, and I'm watching this on MTV Canada, but she's surrounded by these like 13 and 14 year old girls who have no idea what it's like to be dancing with Jake the night before and then wake up in bed with him, okay? And so her demographic is completely off the mark. But like she appealed to these people apparently because she's got three albums now. You can go to her website. I'm not going to be for it yourself. And so anyway, that's my first selection. Well, I don't know if that's was that a good first salvo to throw at you.
I like that you said you had exercised that out of your body, because songs like that, as horrible as they are, they infect your mind. And that's the one way they think they can sell records, is if they just infect you. But you just got to get it. You've got to vomit it out of yourself.
Exactly. I would be literally in elevators just going like, oh my God! I was going crazy with that song. All right. Anyway, on to the next song. These are actually in order. I did order these tracks in a specific way because any good mixtape has a sequential order. And it's supposed to take you through the highs and the lows. And so this next song, though, I guess it isn't that fluid, I don't know, whatever. This song seemed to be the most fitting second song, though. And it comes to us from a group of fellas who knew exactly what they wanted out of women. A great sage from this quintuplet wrote, "Cold crush jerry curl, gold watch, gold ring, and a neck full of pearls. Real slim waist, a made-up face, head turns, eyes burn when she comes in the place. Perfume from France puts you in a trance, fly enough to mingle, too fly to dance. Those, dear listeners, are words to live by." This track begins at my favorite verse, the second, with Boogie Knight telling us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help him God. My name is Boogie Knight, yes, I'm a Capricorn. I like a fly girl, so know that they're all. To my experience, the girls who please are Gemini, Scorpio, and yes, Pisces. I'm not prejudiced, but I tell you right now, I don't like a girl who eats the puppet trap. I don't like a girl with mud in her toes and feet that smell like anything good. Dirty nails are what I hate most, but the gold fingernails are high post. I like pretty hair, but I also know girls look fly and can ghost. I must say this if you like it or not. I can't stand fluorescent signs, but let me shut up for now, bye bye world. My name is Boogie, my girl. Girl, girl, girl. Alright, that was Flag Girl by the Boogie Boys. I love that song for how ridiculous its lyrics are, man.
I mean, everything about it is uncreative. It's got that, like, dun 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 dun, like the nursery rhyme rap, and then it's got the classic sports dun dun dun. dun dun ch beat. And then it even goes into like the Peter Frampton mouth guitar chorus. Like,
the thing I love the best about this song is just like lyrically, these guys were geniuses, because when he says the words, "I don't like the girl who eats the puppy chow," it's like, you know what? I know what you're talking about, dude. I don't like girls who eat puppy chow either, nor would I ever date one. And I also don't like a girl with mud in her toes and feet that smell like anything goes. That's not me either. So, same ages the Boogie Boys. I just wish that they would have had a better medium to articulate their feelings on women.
It sounds like he's talking about girls that only exist on like the island of Dr. Moreau or something. It's some high concept song.
He does know that hot New York girl when he says girls look flying Kangols, because if anyone's ever seen LL Cool J or Run DMC, man, they got those Kangols on, and when girls were wearing those back in the 80s, admit it, you were hot. For admit it. All right, let's see. Ooh, the next song. You might guess it based on the intro that I've written for it, but let's see if you do. The 90s were an eclectic mix of wonderful rap and pop. No artist pushed the threshold more than the third track on this mixtape. Hailing from France, he made a name for himself at an early age, sweeping the music world by storm. But it wasn't his preemie charm or his
Geordie
voice. Nay, his lyrics were powerful, and his music was striking, to say the least. Here's Geordi singing his hit single, "Dear Dear De Trubé, Be a Baby." Anymore. It's like the sound of a little child army coming to destroy the world. Like, that's what children sound like.
I love the concept for that song, though, that it's so tough to be a baby, that this baby has finally decided to speak out and explain to you exactly how tough it is.
Exactly. And the thing, if you remember the video for Geordi, like, he had that, like, spiky blonde hair. He looked like one of those kids you would just love to kick in the face. And he didn't sell anything to me with that song. The only thing he sold to me was maybe, some Pampers and some formula. That's about it.
Yeah, somehow at that young age, he thought he was hot shit already with that spiked hair.
Yeah, exactly. I think that song, unlike any other event of the early 90s, like, it identified the fact that the music industry was in a shit situation, and it was looking for any way to make some cash.
Yeah, that... I mean, to go to a baby, that's just, basically, they came up with this idea, let's have a baby sing about how tough it is to be a baby, and then they just found some baby to repeat lyrics.
Several years ago, I searched Geordi, and I found out that he's in his 14s, 15s, 16, he's in his mid-teens right about now, and I think he's a drummer in some band in France, so he's doing well for himself.
I'm desperately right now trying to find out, what those lyrics translated are.
Well, he says, I hear him say, "Oukum si, oukum sa," which is so-so. I mean, you know what, our buddy Casey, he's a French minor, and everyone knows that if you minor in French, you know it pretty well. So maybe we'll commission him to translate the song.
Right.
You could also do a dictionary translation, it'd be not as literal, but...
I'm really quickly going to Google Translate, and I'm going to try to get us the first couple verses. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
"It is hard, hard there to be, oh baby, there baby. It is hard, hard to be, der baby, hard to be baby. I am called Geordi. It is hard, hard there to be, oh baby, there baby. It is hard, hard to be, dear baby, hard to be baby. I am called Geordi. I am 4 years old, and I am small, hard, hard, here to be Veen's baby. Do not touch that resta sitta, do not go there. Faz like C, make that like that patati and patata. Why C, why that? Why is it is as C, why that? Why it is like that? Oh, there, baby. It is hard, hard to be dear baby. Hard to be baby.
Wow, Jordy was a genius.
It's like baby porn or something.
Yeah. Do you think he was announcing his? He might be the Antichrist, and he was announcing his presence in the world, and we just didn't heed his warning.
Yeah. When you hear that read aloud, it's kind of ominous or something.
Yeah. Like, I am Jordy. I am here. You know, bow before me. Whatever, you know,
it sounds like to me with all the repetition and strange words, it sounds a bit like Joyce's Finnegan's Wake almost. Maybe he's like some super genius.
All right, let's move on. Jordy's got our next song is it's just a huge steaming pile of turd wrapped in a smoked vomit omelet prepared raw and stinky. I know my brother likes this song, so I have to apologize in advance for calling it probably the worst song created post-Horsemouth Rock's rise to popularity. But if anyone can actually relate to the lyrics in this song, please, please, please email me. Let me know how it is you're still alive. Number 4 on the mix, Shine Down, staring down a barrel of a 45.
Everyone would sing that fingers. Always come telling me. Nobody knows what I believe. I believe. And I'm staring down the barrel of a 45. 45 swimming through the ashes of another life. No real reason to accept the way things have changed. Staring down the barrel of a 45. And I'm staring down the barrel of a 45.
That's all I hear out of that. That song is so retarded. And when you hear that guy, like, his voice, he has such stupid fluctuations in him. He has the 45.
Well, he sounds a lot like a Bruce Dickinson, a modern-day Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, almost.
Yeah, he does. But then you read the lyrics, because, you know, again, part of my criteria for the songs is how crappy are the lyrics. So I decided I was going to start it at that bridge between the near the end, because the lyrics are, everyone's pointing their fingers, always condemning me, and nobody knows what I believe. And I think to myself, these are some really shallow lyrics. There's no substance to those. It's something that you read in some kid's high school notebook that they scribbled down before they went to go cut themselves in the bathroom. Stupid lyric. And then, you know, the message that in this song, I don't understand what he's trying to say. Like, why do you have to be so depressed? Can't music be happy anymore?
Well, what amazes me about this type of music is the fact that it is written from a very adolescent standpoint. Like, no one experiences those types of thoughts unless they're 14. So the fact that this 30-year-old man is writing these lyrics is such an obvious ploy to grab this market of teenagers that are just trying to wallow in their false sorrows about their easy lives, you know?
Yep, exactly.
And it's so overdone. Like, the only people that could relate to this are, like, you know, people that have been religiously persecuted or something.
Yeah, if you were a Huguenot maybe back in, like, the 17th century, I would understand you wanting to, you know, maybe stare down a grape shot or something. But, you know, there's no reason to be existing nowadays and be like, you know, except the way things have changed. I'm staring down the barrel of a 45. The message is just so retarded. I hate this band. I hate them, and I can't believe I put them on my list. I might rescind them now. I hate them. I don't know why I played them.
If you're 14 and people are condemning you because you like Slipknot, those people might suck, but I hate to tell you, they're right. Yeah. Slipknot sucks. Your life is a joke right now, and you'll get out of it. Things will get better, but
someday you'll discover Belle and Sebastian, and all will become clear to you.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, well, our last song, somehow it redefined rock and roll into a genre that could actually embrace shitty music for, you know, with shit for substance, and then also take a backwoods yokel and catapult him into some meteoric fame. And, you know, living in Michigan, I'm a big fan of hunting, but rarely is there a song that quite defines the experience. That is, until I heard our next selection, which not only challenges the world in the sport, but also challenges the youth of America to get their kicks in things other than hot rods and bodacious bods. The crown jewel of this piss-poor mixtape begins where that song ends, with sadness, warmth, and redemption. Here's Fred Bear by The Nuge.
Alright. Yeah. Let's go hunting, baby. Say, friend. You go up that ridge. Now go down to the swamp. We'll get that buck.
If some of our teenage girl seekers really want to go out and get them, go up into the northwest and the grizzly bear, the polar bear, the brown bear.
Okay, you can't really hear what he's saying, but but either way, that's Fred Bear's old, crusty, dead voice telling us about teenage thrill seekers who think that they know how to, you know, get their kicks elsewhere. They should really try hunting, because hunting is where it's at. It's like, hey, guess what, pal? We evolved beyond that, so we don't need hunting anymore. Now we've got you know, fast cars and fast women, and that's all we need.
Yeah, with how exciting this song makes hunting seem, you'd imagine that they're riding around on dirt bikes with, like, M16s shooting at dinosaurs or something.
Yeah.
When in reality, they're sitting up on a tree stand at, like, 4 in the morning, mm-hmm. drinking a natural light and, like, thinking about how much they hate their wife.
Yeah, exactly. For 1 week in a year, they get to escape hating their wife and then go mingle with deer. Now, don't get me wrong. I like it. It's not like it's a bad thing, but I think what this song is doing, it's like that. It's such an imposition on me. Don't make me feel like I'm a bad person because I don't always hunt, or that I don't hunt any longer, but, like, this song is really, it's mean, because he's sitting there, like, this song is basically just Ted Nugent talking to Fred Bear, and we somehow have to, you know, listen to this. He could have just sent him a little tape of it and gave it to Fred Bear, and then, you know, let Fred listen to it, and then let Fred die of old age in his chair, or however he died, and then that would have been the end of it. None of us would have had to experience this horrible song. So, that concludes my mixtape. I, you know, there was a lot of runners-up, too, I will admit. I had, what did I have? I was going to do Aaron Carter, Oh Aaron, if you remember that song.
No.
Yeah, it was a horrible song. It was just basically a song written by a 14-year-old for 14-year-olds about, like, Oh Aaron, Oh Aaron. You're like, basically saying, like, Oh Aaron, you're so crazy.
Oh, God, what a self-serving song for a 14-year-old.
And then I was going to do, let's see, I can play a real quick snippet of I was going to do Ronnie James Dio. That song is recommended to me by a friend of mine, Katie, because I guess there's some bands around here that'll cover that song, and they do an excellent job, but it's still not a great song.
Is that song about a holy scuba diver?
Hold on, let me see if I can quickly Google the lyrics.
Because I had never listened to those lyrics.
Holy diver, and it's like holy diver, then ride the tiger, and it makes no sense, but let's see, it says, holy diver, you've been down too long in the midnight, but what's coming of me? Ride the tiger, you can see his stripes, but you know he's clean, and don't you see what I mean? Gotta get away, holy diver. Got shiny diamonds like the eyes of a cat, and the black and blue something is coming for you, look out. Race for the morning, you can hide in the sun till you get the light, oh, we'll pray, it's all right. Yeah, I think it is about a diver.
Oh my God, man. That just sums up horrible poetry, too.
Wow. Dio, man, Dio's amazing. what else was I thinking of? There's a few other songs. Oh, I hope I don't take anything away from you. But I was going to use the song, and then my roommate reminded me that I like it, so I have to disqualify.
I've encountered that in my search, too.
Here's the hit song from Stacey Q, Two of Hearts. Okay, that's like listening to Geordi right now, though, because it's got such a weird, like, the atmosphere of that song is just too much for me.
Yeah, it's an atmosphere that they no longer do. Those synths are no longer used like that. Because somebody was actually sitting down at a Casio and hitting a key that had the song, I, and they go, I.
Oh, shoot. So, what do you think? Do you think next week you're gonna be able to top that, or do you think I've got a few songs that might trump some of yours?
See, I've got an advantage in that I'm going second, so I can really. But what I'm going for is a cross-decade, cross-genre list. So I've got a high-concept project. If that's actually going to happen, I don't know, because for some reason, certain decades just produced way worse music. So it might not work out that way, but I'm going to try.
Yep. All right, well, that concludes my... I mean, that's all I've got for it. If you got any suggestions, you know, send in your request to either chris@the-means.com or tanner@the-means.com, and you can help him out create a better mixtape, and then he can beat me, and we'll see what my penalty is. I don't even know what kind of punishment I should get for losing.
Yeah, and start coming up with your own mixtapes and amassing lists, because I think maybe in the third show we'll have user-submitted mixtapes, and maybe just try to make selections out of everyone's submitted mixtapes and make the single worst mixtape in history or something like that.
All right, I just want to remind everyone again, if you feel like you want to donate, go to cff.org, that's the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, and just check that out and look around the site. Again, just even if you just educate yourself, that's better than most people can say. But if you want to donate, even better.
Yeah, and
that's all I have.
One thing that everyone needs to know about charities is the worst thing you can do is donate to a charity you know nothing about, or such a huge charity and that their leadership is questionable, like the Red Cross. The best thing is to donate to scientific and medical charities where you know it's being put to use in good ways. All right.
Yep, that's it.
See you next week.
Later, guys.
Thank you once again for listening to This Just In, recorded Sunday, November 20th, 2005, and distributed Monday, November 21st, 2005. For more information about this podcast and other projects, please visit www.the-means.com.